and SIPC.
At Eye Care of the Bighorns, they make finding sunglasses easy and fun. From Nike and Ray-Ban to Prada, Marc Jacobs, Betsy Johnson, Kate Spade, David Beckham, they've got over 15 designer names with styles for every personality. Even better, some VSP insurance plans may help cover your purchase, and the specialists at Eye Care of the Bighorns will help you maximize your benefits. Eye Care of the Bighorns at 1033 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Online at eyecareofthebighorns.com.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No runaround, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hi, this is Nora with the Food Group. Weekend food bags are available in the entryways of all of the schools in Sheridan every Wednesday and Thursday from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., June 3rd through August 13th. Again, food bags are available at every local school every Wednesday and Thursday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., June 3rd through August 13th.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Wednesday, July 22nd, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by the University of Wyoming Director of Internal Communications, all the way from the Gem City, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd.
How's the heat there in Laramie, my friend?
It's been hot, but it's slacked off here the last past couple of days, and looks like we're going to get some moisture. Sounds like that you've had some of that yourself up there, so we're very grateful that we're getting a little bit of a break here, I think, in this hot summer.
Boy, I'll tell you, you know, I take a lot of pride in my grass. I don't know what's going on with the sprinkler system, but it's starting to look a little brown. I'm going to have to go out there and mitigate my moisture situation a little bit going forward.
I'm with you.
Now, one thing you sent me that you want to talk about. Smart asset. A lot of folks may not know who or what makes up Smart Asset. Who are these folks?
It's a consumer website, Floyd. That's about the best just description. You know, provides tips for consumers on a variety of things, and one of them it happens to be a higher education.
Now, they break down universities throughout the nation, correct?
Yeah, well, they looked at 500 universities in the United States from the standpoint of what is kind of value do they return for their students, and that's the ranking they did, called America's Best Value Public Universities.
That's interesting. You know, you would think a lot of universities out there get ranked upon various academic scaling. This one is talking about value for you, the biggest bang for your buck. Where did the University of Wyoming fall on that list?
So we're in the top 50, Floyd, and that's what they kind of touted was their top 50. We're actually number 41. As you look around, there's only three public universities in the whole Rocky Mountain West that are even in the top 50. Us, the University of Idaho, and New Mexico Tech, I think it's called. So, yeah, you know, nobody from Montana, nobody from Utah, from Colorado is even on in the top 50, and we are. And Idaho, by the way, is back behind us several spots. So anyway, yeah, it's, you know, like you mentioned, there's a lot of different rankings. One of maybe the most famous over the years is U.S. News & World Report. There's a new one that came out earlier this year from Time Magazine where we're in the top 100 universities, public and private. But these days, considering the issue of of cost and all that, and you know, what is college worth it, and those sorts of considerations. Now, perhaps this best value ranking might, you know, may have the most merit.
That's pretty incredible, and especially in today's economy, a lot of you know, financial situations. That's what people are looking for. What am I going to get out of this experience? And we've already talked, you know, multiple times about the experience itself at the University of Wyoming and how certain programs have really enriched that, I'd say, over the past two decades. I'd say especially since I've been sitting in this chair. Introduction programs, programs that kind of teach you the way the university works, even before the first class meets for session. Now, when this came out, was there a big meeting with everybody who sat around and said, hey, this is what this says? Number 41 out of 500 schools. This is what this says about us. And if they did, what does it say?
Yeah, so they looked at three metrics. They looked at, of course, your average cost of attendance. And we know that we're, especially for Wyoming people, very, very, you know, very affordable. Our tuition among the very lowest in the country for residents, and not too shabby for non-residents as well. So we're always going to be very accessible and affordable. That's our state constitution says that we need to be as nearly free as possible for Wyoming people to attend. That's how serious they took education when they founded the state and the university. And then the other metric that they looked at was our graduation rate. So how many, you know, what are we successfully turning out graduates? And our graduation rate holds up very well compared to our peer, you know, other public universities like us. And then the other one that might be, you know, the most telling is, what are the median earnings of our graduates 10 years after they first enroll here? And so it's they took about, you know, so the cost of attendance and then how much are people are they earning? And, you know, back to the cost issue, Floyd, I mean, more than half of our graduates don't have any student loan debt when they get their bachelor's degree. That's just unheard of across the country.
Absolutely.
And some of that's the Hathaway program, right, that our elected officials have established and expanded. And so you plug in then the success of our graduates at when they enter the workforce. That's the third leg of this stool, and that's what really distinguishes us when they consider all those things, three things together.
Well, I think that's a fantastic matrix to actually look at. You know, often you hear the stories in conversations with individuals talking about how, you know, hey, I paid for this big education. I got my piece of paper, and now I have to go find a job somewhere in the service industry because there's nothing open. So I think really looking at what's going to happen after, because college, university, it is a fantastic experience. I would recommend it for everybody, no matter what field you want to get in, trade, diplomas, undergraduate, PhDs, all of it, all the way through. It's very unique experience, but then that will come to an end. And then what are you going to do afterwards? I think that's pretty good way of looking at things. Now, I would add, you know, I don't know how thorough you went through that, but how does UW compare with other universities in the region when it comes to that after you get the degree?
Holds up very well, Floyd. I can't, you know, I'm not going to be able to relate to, hey, compared to DSU or Utah State or whatever. I mean, I don't have those right handy with me. But our numbers have stack up very well. Now, you know, there's a lot of talk right now, Floyd, about, you know, it is true that a good number of our graduates, once they get their degrees, leave Wyoming. Now, not. I mean, it's I've seen different numbers. I think it's actually closer to maybe 50% than, you know, than 60 or 70% that leave. And, of course, sometimes that's because the jobs aren't here. Sometimes it's because people want to just experience the world elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll come back. And then can make big contributions. There's person after person I can name who kind of fits that bill. And then there's some who are able to find good work in the field they're interested in, and they love Wyoming. They want to stay here. They have deep roots. They love the outdoors. They, you know, and so and there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of those every year as well who enter the workforce. And we know also that you mentioned the trades. I mean, that college certainly is not for everyone. As you mentioned, there are great experiences to be had here, but you know, there are some fields where you don't need a 4-year degree, and you know, we train teachers for career and technical education in high school, for example. We have that role, but there's needs in Wyoming. We need more nurses. We need more K-12 mm-hmm. teachers. Need more. One of the fields that we hear a lot about is we need more accountants.
Wow.
So our college business is doing the very best to turn out as many accountants as we possibly can. But you know, the thing you need to do is you're getting ready for college, and we have on our website a program directory of every academic program we have, and every single one of those pages has a little module in it that shows what kind of job this might get for you and how much it might pay. And that's data from the Department of Labor, U.S. Department of Labor, so we're not just making stuff up. So we emphasize that from the very start, from when students are first looking to whether they want to come to UW. We're providing that information.
You know, I'm going to get off topic here, but you said something about accountants and looking at our environment here in Wyoming, our economy here in Wyoming. I wonder what life would have been like if I would have taken the route to become an agricultural accountant. I'm not even sure if that's like a super specific role that you can do in accounting. But wow, I would think that that would be so useful for so many individuals around here.
We absolutely have in our College of Ag degree programs. There are you know, like we have, for instance, ranch management and agricultural leadership, which is a brand new bachelor's degree that certainly has a component of managing finances, because that's such an important piece of agriculture, and particularly, you know, family agriculture like we have in Wyoming, to be able to make ends meet and make things work out. And so, yeah, those sort of courses and experiences are plentiful here at UW.
And a fantastic opportunity for so many individuals, you know, who grew up in the ag field. I think, you know, a big wave of agricultural accountants would be absolutely fantastic, being able to go out into the community. Because I just feel that would be a very niche job, one that would serve multiple communities in Wyoming very, very well. Moving on down the line. When we talk about hands-on learning, you hear a lot of it. People saying, you know, well, come on in, we're going to get some hands-on learning. In your experience, Chad, because you yourself are an educator, do you feel hands-on learning plays a real major role in preparing students, excuse me, for successful careers after school?
Absolutely. Floyd, it's more and more important by the year, actually, and those opportunities are plentiful here. You know, that can start for, say, when you're working on your bachelor's degree, you can get a job working in a laboratory for an accomplished researcher, and of course, then you got your internships, and we work very, very hard to make sure internship opportunities are there for our students. Before they graduate, and helping get them ready for careers. And those are just a couple of examples, but it's a real high priority for us, and one of our real strong points.
I think it's a fantastic view into a real life workplace. So once you get out of whatever school that you're serving, you understand even the culture of the position that you're going into. Because I would say that certain positions do have kind of a different culture. Certain roles within various workplaces also have that. Now, another thing that I wanted to talk to you before we go to a commercial break, a story you sent me that I thought was absolutely, it's pretty amazing. But I can I can see the challenges in front of these individuals. And that is UW researchers trying to convert liquid medicines into a dry form. I know individuals out there who work with medicines could probably see 50 different problems that this could solve. But for individuals like me who don't really understand this world, what problems are they trying to solve by doing this, Chad?
The big one, Floyd, is it's refrigeration, the need for refrigeration. So many of our medical products, including vaccines and the like, need to be refrigerated or else they go bad. And that can be a problem. Say, think in a military situation.
Oh wow!
In a rural health setting, where things you have to providers have to travel distances or patients do. I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios where if you could eliminate the need for what they call the cold chain. Then you're gonna be able to help human health, and so that's what Dr. Boothby, we talked about him a lot. In the past, he's the guy who works on these little creatures called tardigrades.
Yeah.
That can survive anything, and so that's what this tied to is you're pulling proteins or engineering some proteins from these creatures that can survive anything, and you're introducing them or incorporating them into these medicines so they can be preserved in a dry state and not have to be refrigerated.
It's always really amazing to me, the different problems that are being solved at the university. There are things that I wouldn't have even thought of. As you said, the tardigrades. How can we use tardigrades, microscopic animals, to help with aging? What can we invent to retain positive control on objects in space? All these different crazy problems that we don't tend to think of. It's almost as if you got a think tank down there, a bunch of individuals sitting around going, let's find a problem and let's solve it.
Well, that's sure. It's all what sort of application does this have to help people or animals or the environment or whatever in this case. And then the side benefit, if you want to call it side, Boyd, is it creates an industry for Wyoming, potentially. Mm-hmm. If you can commercialize this and keep it here in Wyoming, and we do that because the technology is developed here, we then work with the people who develop it and do licensing so that, the university and the state benefit from it. And if they set up shop in a spin out or a startup form here, they hire people, they pay taxes, and diversify Wyoming's economy.
When it comes to the issues that they're facing trying to convert these complex medications into a dry form, how is their progress going?
I think very well. They've received research funding. That's what the federal government does a lot of, and they're making great progress. And Dr. Boothby's lab is one of the world's leaders in this very specialized area. But, initially you figure out how do you get these proteins out of these creatures, and you test and see how durable they really are. He worked with NASA. He put tardigrades up in the space station or something to prove. Anyway, and then you find applications for it. How can we use these things to help people? And that's the stage they're at now, and that's where the commercial potential lies.
And the fantastic thing, we were just talking about hands-on learning. He takes students into the lab, doesn't he?
Oh yeah. You've got absolutely not just graduate students. Sometimes it's students pursuing their bachelor's degrees, doing work in his lab, and many, many others on across campus. Very, very interesting work, and that's where the students really find their passions, Floyd, because when they get to be able to participate in that stuff, that's where they say, "Sheesh, I want to do this. I want to make a living doing in this field."
And you might just be sitting there, breaking down cells all day or working a bit of repetition, but every step you take is really going to make a big difference in the end. And I think, honestly, I think that's what a lot of people want to do. It doesn't matter what you do, but as long as I'm making a big difference in the end, you know, it really gives you a reason to get up, to go to work, to find that passion in the daily grind. You know, that a lot of us face every day. On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more of the University of Wyoming right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
What does your dream garage look like? All your tools perfectly organized and stored in a shiny new Carlisle toolbox, or a whole wall of every Milwaukee power tool you could ever want? How about a car lift? Ooh, a car lift on wheels. You need to check out the Real Deals flyer from Napa. It has everything you could ever want for your dream garage. You're welcome. Stop in the store or view it online. If Napa doesn't have it, they can get it. Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan, making dream garages come true.
Hey, Doug, I sat down in my truck yesterday. I think it branded me.
Ouch. Hot summer vehicles can do that.
Then my AC unit blew hot air all over me.
Hey, Bob, you need to stop by Waring Chevrolet. We'll inspect your air conditioning system, tune it up, get that cold air blowing again.
Great, because my burned arms will thank you.
Certified service, the Waring way. Schedule online at waringsheridan.com or call at 674-6419.
Hear ye, Sheridan community, the countdown begins. The Tournament of Knights rides into the Sheridan County Fairgrounds on July 25th. Experience thrilling jousting, daring knights, live entertainment, tasty fare, and fun for the whole kingdom. Gather your family and join the adventure of the summer. This is CHAPS' major fundraiser, and tickets are on sale now on the CHAPS website. Don't miss the Tournament of Knights, where legends come to life.
The Health Nuts, the place to be for healthy living naturally. Soups, salads, and sandwiches too. Fresh made smoothies just for you. Vitamins, herbs, the best you'll find. Feed your body, heart, and mind. Healthy never tasted so good. Feeling better than you thought you could. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. With us this morning, University of Wyoming Director of Internal Communications, Chad Baldwin. UW research is showing evidence that early humans in North and South America relied heavily on hunting large mammals, including mammoths and giant sloths. I'm not sure just exactly where the academic community was at before this research hit, Chad. But wasn't there a belief that a lot of tribes would not engage in these large mammals due to safety concerns?
There were those who made that argument. Floyd, one thing I've learned over the years is the archaeology community is pretty have big arguments with each other all the time, and they disagree. But yes, our professor, we have Robert Kelly, who's a member of the National Academy of Sciences, an eminent archaeologist, and then Todd Surville, who also is eminent as well, and they did a thorough study. They looked at archaeological sites in Wyoming and elsewhere. They looked at the all the material they could find, and their conclusion is that when we're talking between 11,000 and 13,000 years ago, that we had these bands of humans, And they're kind of called they're called Clovis people because of the spear points they used. And that 98% of their diet came from, in Wyoming, it was mammoths.
Wow.
And then, you know, as the peoples moved south into Central and South America, that's where they had these giant ground sloths and other kind of elephant-like creatures and large camels and that kind of stuff. And that's what they hunted, and they hunted in groups, produced a lot of meat from these things, and it was relatively high fat content compared to, say, like rabbits or something like that. And if you could take down one of those mammoths, that would feed a whole group of people for a long time.
Oh my goodness! And the amount of fur on it.
They had the woolly mammoths up farther north, and they killed those too. My understanding is Colombian mammoths maybe weren't quite as covered by hair, but they've done research. Would these spear points have penetrated the hide of these mammoths? And absolutely, they've documented that again. We have Dr. Friesen, who was also one of our eminent archaeologists who passed away a few years ago. He actually went over to Africa, and when they needed to cull elephants from one of the national parks, they let him try out the spears on the elephants over there to help prove that yes, they could. That this was very possible, and we have kill sites and scavenging sites where we know humans were taking meat off of for these big critters.
It is really fascinating because I think everybody out there would think, of course they did, but imagine really, even if you do have a couple buddies, going after something this large with spears and just kind of going after it and hoping for the best. That would be a heck of an intimidating hunt.
Wouldn't that be fun to watch something like that?
Oh,
unfold?
It'd be incredible. Yeah,
the thing is, Floyd, you realize when you get hungry, you can figure out a lot of things.
You get me hungry enough, I'll solve a problem.
And they're savvy. They developed how you do this. There's been some research showing that maybe they had rather than like, so they used atlatls, we know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then other things. And then maybe they were able to push them into areas where the animals kind of maybe fell on spears that were projectiles in the ground and that kind of thing. There's other means of maybe doing that. But it's just so fascinating to think about right here, in our part of the world, what were things like 11, 12,000 years ago? And you're seeing these giant critters, they call them mega herbivores, and then these people chasing them around and then eating them. Really interesting to think about.
And incredible to think about. That must have been, just felt like such a major victory for your tribe or your clan to bring down something that large. I mean, the feasting would last for days.
Yeah, I mean, we all celebrate when we kill our elk or deer or whatever, right? I mean, and we have it quite a lot easier than they did. Taking down bigger animals with spears. It's just incredible.
Now, one more thing I did want to talk to you about before I let you go, Chad, and that is Cell Drop Biosciences at the University of Wyoming. Who are these folks?
So this is a spin-out company, which means that there's people who work at UW who develop technology that they can have commercial application. We help set them up so they can go commercial with things. And that's what CellDrop is. And they now have a spin-out of their spin-out called Juniper Biosystems. And this comes from an action taken by our legislature just this past spring, Floyd. The Wyoming Stem Cell Freedom Act was passed. Senate File 48 became effective July 1st. And what that allows is for Wyoming doctors to provide certain stem cell therapies to patients.
Wow.
Stem cell therapies are used in healing, right?
It's, mm-hmm.
Our bodies produce stem cells for like wounds and things like that. And this is another way for physicians to help patients recover from different injuries or that sort of thing. And now we have the capability. We have a stem cell manufacturing center now, and a private company that is going to turn out stem cells for therapies for use by Wyoming physicians and probably other states as well too. But anyway, another example of like, you know, you, these people working in laboratories aren't just they're coming up with stuff that makes a difference, not only for improving human health, but helping the economy of Wyoming.
And it's that is true cutting edge medical technology right there. And something, you know, I personally fully support the potential of stem cells has only, you know, we've only scratched the surface of that. And I think, you know, Juniper Biosystems down there in Laramie going to be really at the forefront of this fantastic research. Again, another opportunity for someone who really wants to make that big difference after getting their education, heck, maybe even during it, at the University of Wyoming. Chad, thank you so much for calling in. Another great, you know, accumulation of some fantastic things happening down there at the university. I greatly appreciate you, my friend. Try and stay cool.
Hey, you too, Floyd. Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're going to speak with the Sheridan County Library System. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
Hi, I'm County Commissioner Christy Haswell. I'm proud of my yes vote to support selecting a planning consultant in partnership with the City of Sheridan to begin updating our joint planning area plan that hasn't been updated since 2017. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, Sheridan County's population grew by 7.5% between 2020 and 2025. As our community grows, we need proactive planning and leaders who vote to prepare for the future. Please vote to re-elect Christy Haswell on August 18th. Thank you. Paid for by Friends of Christy Haswell.
I love to play sports, and my parents say the more active I am, the better life is for everyone. I'm not sure what that means, but I do know I always bring my water bottle from home. Why? Because my family has the best tasting water ever. We have a water system from Water Products and Solutions. It takes out fluoride and chlorine, and it tastes great. So I drink a lot of water. They can help you, too, with a whole home system or a water dispenser.
Water Products and Solutions, 672-7606.
Hi, it's Chris Hayden from your locally owned Sheridan Motors, and I'd like to introduce our Sheridan Care packages. These include 3 fully synthetic oil changes, tire rotations, and inspections for up to 40% off. Packages starting at just $229. Every service is performed by a factory-trained technician using original equipment parts. Plus, enjoy free pickup and delivery and a complimentary car wash with every service. It's the best value around. Call 307-672-3411 or stop by Sheridan Motors today. Sheridan Motors, the friendliest place in town.
The Sheridan County Youth Market Livestock Sale would like to say thank you to the Sheridan County Cattlewomen and sponsors for their support of the Buyer's Dinner, Monday, August 3rd at 4 p.m. Sponsors include Ridley's Family Market, Farmers Co-op, Water Products and Solutions, and Pepsi. Special thanks to the Sheridan County Chamber Ag and Natural Resources Committee. We cannot thank you enough for all of your support. The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. First thing apart this morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Library System Director Amy Long. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I like that shirt.
Oh, thank you.
It looks fantastic. How have you been down at the library? How's everything been kicking?
Oh, my goodness. So busy. But wonderful.
Busy's good, right?
Yeah.
Makes the day go by faster.
Oh, yeah.
But you're always running out of time.
Always running out of time, yes. And the heat has been delightful and also very hot.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Are you someone who likes the heat?
No.
Not at all.
The sun and I don't get along.
Yeah, we live in Wyoming.
I know.
We're not here for the heat.
No. No, not in Sheridan.
Yeah. My wife's the same way, you know. She gets above 72 degrees. She turns into a different person.
Yeah, I have, my husband says I have like a 2-degree differential. Like there's like 2 degrees that I like. And then if it goes anywhere beyond that, I'm just like, wait, what happened? I only like those 2 degrees.
This is not why we made things to control our environment.
I know.
Well, the community response. Is the children's library completely open right now?
Yeah, just the meeting room area where we have story time normally, that children's theater, is not quite open yet, but the children's library is. And so we've moved our programming over into there. So the story times and the summer reading programs and the creation station, all of those programs are over in the children's library now. So we're a little squished, but the books are over in there again, and we have some furniture and games set up in there, and the creation station is over in there, which was provided for by a grant and some funding from local community. And so, you can go in there now and see the new carpet and the new paint. And the lighting was, of course, done previously with the fundraising that Cameron had done with the roof project. And it's very exciting. That's fantastic. Still have some boxes out, so please forgive us. We're still sort of moving in. It's very exciting. You still have to go in through the main entrance because we're still doing circulation out of that main desk. Mm. And you can still put your little dinos in when you finish your books because we're still finishing up on the summer reading program. But everyone's very excited.
Now, the renovation project, you kicked off maybe 4 or 5 months ago?
Little branches, but we started at Fulmer at the beginning of June.
Wow. And so what have people been telling you?
Everyone's been very patient and very understanding. We started with moving the summer reading program mostly outside and doing snacks and stories outside and doing summer, like our baby story time outside with our guest storyteller, Bailey, librarian Bailey. She's been so great. And having a little tent set up outside and some outside activities and some great things. And so we've really been doing some things on the fly since our children's library was closed, and moving books out into the main library. And so everybody's been cozy in there together. And by cozy, I mean a little squished, but...
It's like when the doctor tells you you're going to feel a little pinch.
Yeah, right? a little pinch. But it's been nice to have everybody in kind of that one room library. We haven't experienced that at Fulmer in so long, having the families and the adults all in together. So it's been an interesting experience, I think, for all of us. But now we have a wall built right next to the reference desk for our phase two. Which is just kicking off. So.
Okay, what's phase two?
Phase two is where we're going to start the nonfiction section of the renovation. So that's from the reference desk all the way over to the inner circle in the Wyoming room. The Wyoming room is remaining open, but that's why we went to appointment only and online requests, so that you can still get into the Wyoming room if you like. We're going to navigate you to a different entrance on the outside of the building, but you can still go in and view collections and have your answers questioned via online if that's more convenient for you. But you can still access the Wyoming room. It'll just be through a different entrance. We'll use the restrooms on the second floor and also in the children's area. So those restrooms over on that side of the building will be not accessible. But that is what will be renovated next. They'll be changing the lighting, paint, flooring. We're moving all the shelves and the furniture out, and we'll also be getting new furniture. The shelving will still be retained, but we're going to change the layout and shorten it a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. Just some new things. We'll be moving the reference desk back down to where it was back many years ago, if you remember where it used to be. And we're building a new conference room in that area. Oh, and if you noticed that there's some construction vehicles, it's because we're getting a little reading patio out there.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like an outdoor reading patio?
Yeah. So right where the overhang was, well, it still is, but the overhang outside the inner circle, that little kind of shaded area, there's going to be a glass wall there, and people will be able to sit in between the original glass window area and then a new glass wall, and it'll be temperature controlled, and you can sit in there and read with like a lovely glass area. So kind of like how the bookstore used to be a little reading room. People had always mentioned that they loved that little glass reading patio, so we're bringing it back, but in a new area.
How cool is that?
Yeah, so we're trying to combine sort of people's favorite memories of the library with sort of a new way of doing it, but combining people's, you know, kind of the old but new kind of thing, and trying to bring back sort of a new way of bringing back the old, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You know, what is it? I know we've got a lot to talk about, but what you just said brings something to mind. It was an experience where I had just started college. I was actually already a non-traditional student. I was about 21 years old. I went into a college library. And that was the first time I can really think to myself, my gosh, there's nooks everywhere. I mean, there's a reason why that big reading pad was called the nook. There's something about nooks.
I know.
You want to tuck yourself in with your book into a little corner somewhere.
I know.
It's pretty amazing that people really love that.
I know. Isn't it great?
I mean, what is it about that, do you think?
Oh, I have so many thoughts about that. I think when it's kind of funny. Do you know how people say you tuck yourself into a book? I think tucking yourself into a book is also tucking yourself into a place. I think people like that idea of just kind of cocooning themselves in different ways. And when I look at a library design, I always look at, are there little places that people tuck themselves into?
Like little isolated spots.
Yeah. And I think people will see that it's hard to look at a 3D plan, which I am trying to get printed from Alpha Graphics so that we can hang up in the building. But I'm also building shelves, moving books, and preparing our storage spaces so that we can move things into storage so that we can get furniture out. So there's a lot going on. But we are trying to get some plans in the building so people can see them and online. And it's hard to see from a 3D plan what it's going to look like. So I hope people will be patient to see the end product. But I think when people walk in, they'll see that there's these places and these different zones and areas where they can just sort of tuck themselves into the library and be comfortable in a way where they can get their tasks done, but also in this environment where, whether they're with people or by themselves or with their family, where they also just can exist in a comfortable space doing the thing that they came to do, whatever that might be.
I've always been fascinated with that because, and it's not just the idea that other people are attracted to that little nook area. I was.
Yeah.
That is such a core memory for me for some reason. Walking around, because I mean, it was multiple floors. There were books everywhere, probably more books than I'd ever seen in my life up to that point.
Yeah.
And then a little chair here.
Yeah.
A little nook right over there and people in it. And I thought, man, I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, there's just some kind of draw to it.
There is.
All of our branches.
Yes.
Renovations all completed out there?
In progress. We're getting there. The furniture is coming for the three other branches. And we're still working on a glitch we had out in Story. We're working on the fix for that. And so that branch out there, the main section that we renovated, we had an issue with the ceiling and the lighting that we're working on, and that fix should be in place very shortly. We're trying to narrow that down. But Claremont is open and waiting on furniture. Tongue River is open and waiting on furniture. We're getting some pieces in slowly. Top Office actually helped us with orders for those. And so they are on order and shipping. The shipping is in progress. So that should come shortly. They're in the process of completion, And so, yeah, we're getting very close. And then as soon as we get those furniture pieces in, we'll be scheduling some, hopefully, celebrations.
Yeah.
And get those out to the community so people can come see them and they're finished, all their finished glory. So,
as the director, are you happy with the progress made? So, are we on schedule?
Definitely not on the schedule I originally planned, but I have learned that progress, not perfection. So I am still pleased with the end result, and I know that what we're going to turn out is going to be a great quality product, and a library that I think the community can celebrate, and that I know that we'll accomplish what we set out to do. So that is what I'm proud of. And of course, the staff and the communities are so lovely, and I know it's going to be a library that they can really celebrate and be excited about for years to come. So that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah. The end product. Until then, like Bruce Lee said, we must remain like water.
Yes, we must remain like water. We go over the obstacles.
That's right.
We ride the waves and we remember that we do our best every day.
That's right. Now, one thing that I didn't put on my little list of questions here that I did want to bring up, I had Kristen Marcus in here yesterday talking about the Tournament of Knights. She reminded me that the library is going to have a little section out there. I'm super excited see out there a bunch of little wizards out there reading from books. It's going to be fantastic.
It is.
What does Zola have planned?
Oh my gosh, she has so many things planned. I actually saw her list the other day and I don't have it in front of me, but she has multiple crafts planned, and she also has some cool down activities planned involving ice and water.
Oh, fantastic.
Where the little kids can like spray themselves down, and I know that sounds silly, but my kids, every parade, they point the fingers at themselves of, yes, please squirt me with the water because it's 100 degrees out here. So she has ideas on how to help the kids cool down, and the parents to sit while the kids cool themselves down. And so she has thought of all the things, as she does, because she's great at that. And Cassie, of course, her partner in crime, they have come up with a brilliant plan for that section. And every time they plan it, it gets... they give them more space because of all of Zola's great ideas. And so, they have a whole big shebang planned. So I'm excited to hear how it goes and see all the photos.
I really love the idea of the library being out there, because I grew up when I would read for fun as opposed to for, you know, school or something.
Yeah.
It was always like a fantasy novel.
Absolutely.
Dragons, knights,
all the time,
archers, elves, all of it. I loved that. It was an escape from the world.
Yep.
I wanted to find my nook,
tuck yourself in,
and get into a book. And so that idea of falling into those books goes hand in hand with like the Tournament of Knights.
Yeah.
You know, you get to see fantasy right there.
Yep.
In front of you.
Absolutely. It's a natural fit.
Absolutely. And I think it's just a great idea. Folks, you're heading out to the Tournament of Knights. Make sure you stop off. See the staff from the library out there. I know I'm going to. I'm going to go out there and see what they're up to, just out of curiosity. Maybe I'll hit that cool down station, knowing me. Now, another thing is the new reading patio, but also the reading program. You touched on the little dinos. How full are your jars getting, my friend?
Oh my gosh, they're getting so full. So full. There's like not very much space left. I think there's maybe a quarter empty. So if you guys have been reading your books, come and drop in some dinos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Get in there. Fill that jar up. I'd love to see all of them nice and full.
I'm excited.
When's the deadline?
July 31st is when the program has its end of summer reading celebration. And as you guys know, it's the big shebang. It's where we have from 12 to 2 on Friday the 31st, we have games, we have fun-filled afternoon with giveaways, book giveaways, snacks and games, all kinds of fun things happening out on either, if it's not on the front lawn as normal, it'll be out on the north lawn where we're doing snacks and stories right now. Just because it might be a little noisy with the patio thing happening. But yeah, all kinds of all the fun stuff happening up there. So,
man, I feel like this just flew by.
It did. It really did.
July 31st already here.
I know, it's only in like a week and a half. And the big giveaways for the teens and the adult drawing for the baskets is happening on July 31st as well. So you have some time to pick up if you win the raffle. But if you haven't gotten your raffle tickets in for your bingos, definitely get those raffles in the drawing because those baskets are awesome.
Yeah, you want to get basically what you've earned through the year. It's fantastic that the program has expanded. Mm-hmm. And I know I gush over this thing quite a bit, but it's because of all the hard work from you and your staff out there making this such a successful program.
Yeah.
You know, to think kids saying, you know what, I'm going to skip video games today.
I know.
And I'm a video game guy, Amy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to skip them today and read a book.
Right. And it's just like 20 minutes a day if you're doing the kids program and you just color in your log and you can even catch up. If you couldn't do it last week, you can do it this week. And if you start right now, you can do as many of the weeks as you want until it'll give the week one, week two prizes, even if you get started now. So, you know, come and pick up a log and do what you can do. It'll be great. And also just to plug, all of our summer reading program is funded through donations. So, you know, I really want to thank the community because all of this is made possible by the community that supports the library and through all the various ways YO gives and all of the, you know, the annual donation fund and all of the giving that happens through our foundation and our friends at the library and just all the support. You know, the library really is grateful for the community that shows up for us every day. Because it's you guys that come and support us and who are there participating, but also who show up for us in so many ways through your giving and your support. So, and speaking of that, the children's theater renovation should be finished about the middle of next month. And that will now be a flat room similar to the Inner Circle. And the Watt Foundation actually donated funds to help us add a sliding glass door and some furniture that will help make that room a more flexible space so that when programming isn't happening, it turns into a flexible, like flowy area where we can add more seating and more activities for children to really activate that children's area and make more room for families and children to be. Because if you've been in there, you know, really families have kind of a hard time fitting in there if there's more than two or three families at once. And so I also want to thank the Watt Foundation for their support and really helping make this renovation really special for that children's area. And that it's now going to be called the Children's Events and Activities Space because all of our Inner Circle meetings through the rest of the renovation and events are all going to move into that space in September. So for fall, everything will be over in there and everyone will get to see and enjoy it. It's going to be really amazing. So.
And Amy, I want to thank you for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure seeing you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it. And we just really want to appreciate you and everyone who supports the library and who comes out and says hi to us at events. We were at the Shakespeare Festival and had so many people stop by and appreciate the library being there and just talked about their memories of the library and how much they love the library. So we love you guys too. The community here is amazing. And I am so grateful to be here as the director. This is the best job.
And you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity, and this is News Talk 930 KROE.